Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Todd, who is here to speak with us about his experience of participating in Reflective Listening Buddies. Welcome, Todd.
Thanks, Jen. Great to be here. Thank you for inviting me to participate.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you for joining us. Want to do a sound check first. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, except you are a little bit faint, as if you're far away.
Yeah, I'm on Wi-Fi. Does that help?
That is better.
Okay.
And, you know, Todd, it's just as likely that it's me. So a little hard to know. At any rate, whatever you did or whatever I did made it better. So
Great.
Even better, even better. So, you know, whenever we talk about Reflective Listening Buddies, the program, Todd, I'd always like to start out with a little intro, you know, not knowing that whether or not there might be folks on the call who don't know about the program. And this time, I happen to know there are probably a number of folks who have not heard of the program or don't know the details of it because we are in the middle of a fabulous There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. And so we're joined by an outstanding group of folks, many of whom may not know about the program. So maybe you could start us off by telling us a little bit about how it works and what it is.
Sure. Well, it's one of my favorite practice opportunities that happens every quarter. So it's offered every 3 months, and there's an opportunity to register for it. And you sign up either by getting an email, if you're on the email list, or going to livingcompassion.org. And once you sign up, you get an email, a notification that there's two training calls that you can participate if you're new to the program or if you're returning to the program. And this gives you an opportunity to give you an introduction to looking at that. You're also in that email, you're given the guidelines for the program. And then on those two training calls, there's an opportunity to ask any questions that might arise about the guidelines. And then there's an example of what a reflective listening call looks like. And one person shares, and another person reflects. And then on the training call, there's a facilitator who is there to offer guidance and support.
So what I'm hearing is, you certainly don't need to have any experience with any of this,
right,
and even really in particular know what reflective listening is to join, because there's a lot of support for people of all experience levels with it.
Exactly. Just so much support. And then through the program, I'll talk a little bit about getting the assignments, but also that support leads me to see that through the quarter, which is the 3 months, there's an opportunity to participate in three support calls where it's an hour call, it's facilitated, and which holds the privileged environment, which is talked about in the support call. And you get a chance to look at anything that's going on with your reflective listening buddy calls, any questions or concerns that arise that you want to look at the guidelines. And so through the quarter, you have an opportunity to join Sangha in a facilitated group where there's the phone call and you get to participate in that as well.
So that's fun because it's really not only are you participating in the program, which we'll look at in just a second, in terms of having your weekly call with your reflective listening buddy, but also there are this chance to come together with a group of folks and process about what you're seeing as you participate. So that's a fun extra component.
Yeah, it's a great component. And then sort of maybe the nuts and bolts of the program is you're assigned a buddy for the 3 months, and the guideline is to have a half-hour call weekly. The best encouragement is to set up a day and time that's the same every week to look and keep at that commitment. And then the first, you decide on by email who calls whom first, and that person shares first, the other person times and reflects, and then they switch. So 15 minutes. So let's say I make the first call. I would share for 15 minutes. My buddy reflects what I said in my words. And then we switch at the 15-minute mark, and then I would listen and reflect what my buddy is sharing. And then at the end of the call, it's a goodbye. There's to keep the frozen environment, which is a little more detailed for this call, is that we don't, it's not a social call. There's not any chit chat. There's not how's the weather or that. We just, we get on the call, we share, the person reflects in our words, and then we end the call and go on about with our practice.
Wow. And so, Todd, just speaking from your own experience, what have you noticed in participating? You've participated quite a bit in the program.
Yeah.
What have you seen in that?
Well, what I love about it, so many elements, but the couple elements that arose today was, I apologize for the background noise.
I actually can't
Is that
hear
really you. Bad? Is that,
nope.
is that okay?
I can only hear you.
Excellent. Great. Just a big truck went by. So what I find is that it allows me to weekly show up for myself, show up for another Sangha member, and really make and keep commitments for this practitioner, which is really huge for me in practice, is making and keeping commitments to support the heart, support presence, and to support practicing just being there for another person and being for myself. And that's what Reflective Listening Buddy Program allows me to do.
Uh-huh. So having that weekly commitment that you show up for is really a support for your practice, a support for your heart, a support for what you want to be focused on in your life. And coming to that weekly call, showing up for yourself, showing up for the other person in Sangha, really assists you to do that.
Yeah, it really does. And that process is transferable because then other practice opportunities will arise. And because I'm practicing making and keeping commitments through the Reflective Listening Buddy Program, then I can also say, oh, I'd like to make a commitment to join that email class. Oh, I'd like to make that commitment to join a virtual meditation sometime. Or I'd like to make it, keep that commitment to go on retreat. So I find that process of commitments very transferable to other practice opportunities.
Uh-huh. So that process of commitment that really gets assisted in that weekly call with your Reflective Listening Buddy is transferable to other things, and you see it showing up in other practice opportunities, email classes and year-long retreat, I would imagine, and other places like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And it's also, which I get to see weekly, is a great opportunity to see how the system of conditioning works, so how egocentric, karmic-thinking self-hate doesn't want to, doesn't feel like it, weekly. And I get to see how it tries to keep me from being present on the calls when I'm trying to reflect. It's nattering on, and it has a lot to say what's going on. And the beautiful thing is that the program is all geared to practice success. It's all geared to not meeting standards. There's no expectations. All we're doing is practicing presence, being here.
Yes.
And I love the simplicity of that.
And that it really is an exquisite way to practice presence, isn't it? Because what we're doing is, so, you know, my body is speaking for 15 minutes, looking at whatever they're looking at in their practice. And I'm simply reflecting to the best of my ability in their words.
Yeah.
As you say, it's not a, you know, pressure situation where I need to get it right, and it's not that.
Yeah.
But I am, it does call me to presence because I want to be listening to what my buddy is saying so that to the best of my ability, I can reflect back for them in their own words so that they have a chance to really hear what's being said, because often we're not truly listening to ourselves, and very seldom does someone in our life simply reflect back for us.
Yes, and just to underline what you said there, Jen, it's so powerful, that experience, and for folks who have never done the Reflective Listening Buddy Program, until they have that experience, I've done it quite a few years, and still, weekly, to hear myself reflected back in my own words is so, so powerful. And it kind of astounds me almost on a weekly basis of how powerful that experience is.
To just simply have your own words reflected back to you, to get to hear them in a way that we don't. I mean, I said that, right? I said that. But then when it's reflected back to me, there's a way in which, again, if I'm truly present and listening, that I get to take it in on a much deeper level.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Take it in on a much deeper level. And I don't know, I think we're near the top of the hour, but just one other thing that arose was that, again, it's so transferable, that facilitation skill of reflecting. I take it out into the world, and it really allows me to be with people in a very different way than I used to be. And it really allows me to practice presence in interactions with folks and be there for them and be present to myself and really try to not let ego interfere in those interactions, which can get really messy.
What a great point.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So in practicing doing that with your buddy, especially, I'm projecting after years of doing that, that again, that is also transferable. And so in your life, as you're going around, I mean, you know, person at the grocery store or the bank, or, you know, especially the people close to us where we're really trained not to listen, right? I already know. I've heard it all.
Yeah.
I know who you are. I know what you're going to say. You know, we don't mean, I project, we don't mean that disrespect, but there's a way in which it is, you know, and we treat ourselves that way and people we love and people we're close to. And so to bring that level of presence and that respect for someone's, you know, process and their life and what they're going through and who they are and that I don't need to change it. I don't need to fix it. I don't need to even have an opinion about it. I can just reflect it. Wow, how respectful that is.
Yeah, it's been a huge game changer in my relationship. You know, folks just keep saying, oh, you're just so much different about you, Todd. What is it? And all I'm doing is reflecting their own words. And they're being heard, which I don't think it happens very often out there in the world. So, I give that experience of, I look at it as adequacy. I'm adequate to my life experience, and by reflecting their life experience, I sense they're getting an experience of being adequate to their lives. And that's just what I'm projecting on the whole interaction.
Yes. Well, it's certainly a lovely experience for us to go around that present and that aware and that, it brings great, you know, to look at what we've been looking at in the retreat, great compassion for all of us, you know, in what we're doing, being human day in, day out.
Being human day in, day out. So just a huge deep gratitude and gratitude for all the practice and especially the Reflective Listening Buddy program that I have so far been able to, you know, do almost concurrently for years now. And every time the sign-up comes up, I get to see the wall of resistance, like, we've done that. You know, it's just the same old, and I get to see conditioning do its little thing. And I go ahead, I signed up a couple days ago for the next quarter, and I just use it as a great deepening practice tool that is one that I really, really am grateful for and that it's offered and supported.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's a great image. Yeah. We were just talking about that in group this afternoon, that place of, that one. I know that one. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
Yep, that's great. Well, Todd,
thank you so much
for being with us this afternoon. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, and have a great show.
Thank you. Take good care.
Thank you,
Bye-bye.
Jen.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Jerry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Todd. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I am just fabulous, actually.
Great.
Thank you for asking. How about yourself?
I'm happy to be here. Very happy to be here, and I like saying that. And I love that conversation also. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really appreciated Todd's point about adequacy. You know, just to how respectful it is really to hear people and to let them know that they're heard and that we don't need to argue with them.
We don't have to tell them they're wrong.
No, we don't have to fix them or improve them or anything else. We can just appreciate them, enjoy them, and know that they're fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's such a kind way to approach people and to approach life.
Yeah, and ourselves.
Yes, oh, And I have announcements here.
All right.
The powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat is a chance for participants to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. Two retreats are still open this summer at the monastery, July 7th through 14th, and July 28th through August 4th.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Michael? There's one of them going on right now.
Wow.
We have a group of those intrepid people right there, right now at the monastery.
Wow.
How thrilling is that?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty thrilling. They're probably listening to us in this moment, huh?
I bet they are. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And very we're fun. Very happy that they're there.
I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled. Because, which is dropped in, is I need Sangha. I need support.
Yeah.
I need a ton of support. And I love doing the work. And I need a ton of support.
Yeah. Yep. We need to receive support. We need to give support. Because so often we get to see that in giving support, we receive the support that we need.
Yes.
And so it's a wonderful circular giving and receiving that we get to enjoy together.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And as we just heard from Todd and Jen, Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. And a new quarter begins July 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Take a courageous dive into emotions you've never been allowed truly to examine at the When You're Falling Dive retreat, guided by you, Sherry, and Ashwini in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. The retreat runs from September 1st through 6th and includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with you, Sherry.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press star 6 and then 1. That's a way to make guest show. And a conversation that lasts about 5 minutes and is focused on one topic is great.
A conversation that lasted 1 minute and focused on 5 topics would be more challenging, huh?
That'd be challenging
Good
for
Good save
everyone.
There.
Yes, yes. Okay, and here's our first caller.
All right, here we go.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi. I have a question, something I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk in awareness practice about... when we refer to that which animates and all that is and thy will be done, there's a thy there.
Stuff like
the
that.
Will.
Stuff like that.
What are we referring to? Are we talking about God?
What do you mean by God?
Well, The God I don't believe in, actually,
the God I was taught about
when I was a kid in a Protestant church, the God that you pray to and answers your prayers and
maybe
interferes, performs miracles and gets you into college and helps you pass that test and that kind of God.
And does that God have a pronoun?
Well, it used to be he.
But not anymore?
Well, I don't think... Well, maybe there are probably religions that still refer to he, or churches that refer to he, so...
And so what did you conclude about that, all of that?
About what in particular?
Yeah, how did that relationship go sour?
It just didn't make sense. It didn't... Now, wait a minute. How is... So God's taking care of all of us, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking... Those people don't look to be taken care of to me. And it looks like there's a lot of not great stuff going on, including some natural disasters.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not making sense to me that God, that there's some supreme being orchestrating things and yet is compassionate and good and cares.
Because it didn't hang together that that if there was caring, things would go this way.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. And so when we use terms like all that is, or that which is, or the intelligence that animates, those kinds of things. Do you have that same I-thou sense with that?
Yes, I do kind of, yeah. Yeah. And which feels like a contrast with other ways we talk when we say things like life just is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
if we put life in that mix, would it still have that separate feel to it?
Well, sort of. Yeah. If it's capitalized, yeah. It all kind of seems to have this holy, sacred kind of flavor to it, and then I guess it can be spiritual, but not. It just easily.
Well, let me stop you right there. All that is. All that is.
Uh huh.
How do you get separation out of that?
Well,
it's harder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you've heard me say this because I say it regularly. People will ask me regularly. So you're a Buddhist, so you don't believe in God, right? Now, I don't even touch the belief part because that's just, you know, people's eyes glaze over and roll back in their head and that sort of thing. So what I simply respond to them with is, I don't believe there's anything that isn't God.
And that's okay with you? I mean, you're comfortable with seeing what goes on in the world, and I know you're a compassionate person, and you feel it, and it's still okay?
There's nothing that isn't God.
It doesn't mean it's all good. It just means it's all God.
Well, see, the trick of this, and this is the fundamental understanding of Zen, and I would say Buddhism, you're struggling because you are conditioned to believe that you are separate from all that is, that you are outside of life, that you are outside of the all that is that people call God. You are separate from that, other than that.
Yeah.
You see yourself as the subject and all that is as the object, and as that subject, you don't approve of all that is because in that version of how things are, it's only if I'm getting what I want that I'm going to approve of the divine.
So are we just kind of alone in this then? I mean, we have each other.
Catherine?
Yes?
There is nothing that is not all that is. It's not possible to be alone. Separation is the most bizarre, hidden in plain sight delusion that there is. You could not possibly be separate from all that is. Now, this is where I go into my little routine of, if everything in the universe, let's just go with the universe that we know, everything in the universe is pink.
Okay.
All that is pink. Are you separate?
Well,
you couldn't possibly have a boundary because everything is pink.
Yeah. Yeah.
And physics would tell us that it's much like that. The Buddha called it suchness.
Okay. I'm wondering how this is a religion.
Now, do you see how you just leap from from question to question to try to maintain this view of separation?
I guess it's because I just feel separate.
Separate from it. Of course. When we are identified with an ego, another way of talking about that is the illusion of being separate from life. When we are identified with that illusion of separation, we feel separate. In the moments when we are not identified with that, we don't feel separate. Yes. Yes. That is how it works. And as human beings, we have the ability to experience ourselves as separate. Now, this is where I point to, you have dogs and cats, right?
A cat.
Cat doesn't have that experience. You can see that. Cat doesn't think, oh, boy, you know, I hope the grocery money holds out through the week because, you know, I mean, I, you know, I'm just counting on her to bring this stuff home and make sure it gets in my plate. I don't know. I don't know how trustworthy she really is. I really worry about how she spends that money. What if I need to go to the vet?
Yeah.
When we're identified with an illusion of being separate from life, we believe that we are separate. We believe that we are alone. We are identified with an illusion that that perpetuates that, talks about it. It's a conversation in conditioned mind. It's going on constantly. It's making people believe that they're in charge, they're in control, they know, they understand, they can figure things out. All of it.
I think I live there.
Very likely. Most people do. Almost everybody does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't have to, but as the Buddha pointed out, okay, we can do that and suffer for just as long as we want to. When we want to stop, we can. It's not a requirement. We do it volitionally. And as soon as we realize that, then we can start making a choice not to do that. But nobody's going to make us. We can suffer right up to the moment of death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. My encouragement is listen to this with some regularity, make some recordings about it, and just see if you would like to pursue not living in that conditioned ego faux reality. If you would like to explore an alternative to that, it isn't suffering.
Okay, thank you.
You are so welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine, and a fascinating conversation, Sharon, to start us off. I appreciate that.
Yeah, interesting stuff, huh?
Yes, yes, fascinating. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael. This is Rico.
Hey, Rico.
Hey, Rico.
How you doing?
Oh, still breathing. And Sherry, if I never heard another word from that last conversation, that was enough. That so touched me. And I have a question. You know, I've been kicking around the Zen path for a while, and I still read Suzuki Roshi. And he speaks of nothing extra. And I've been, this metaphor of the eye of the needle has been up for me. And I just wanted to know if you had any comments between the similarities of those two.
Well, tell me what you see about each one, Rico.
Nothing extra to me feels like center, where I don't need, it's like stripped to the bone, trim the fat, and it almost feels that's what's indicated in the Bible parable of the eye of the needle. So they both seem like we're talking about the same essence.
So I'm very much aware, Rico, that when you say I'm still breathing, that's not a flippant kind of a answer to how are you.
It's not flippant, no.
Yeah, yeah. It's very literal and actual. Yes. So it related to what we were just talking about with Catherine, when we're identified with ego, almost all of what we attend to is, we could say, extraneous. Right? It's not here. It's not this. It's not now. It's somewhere in the past, somewhere in the future, an imaginary world that ego lives in, ego inhabits, or seems to. It doesn't actually, because it's an illusion, but seems to. Right? And so in that nothing extra, eye of the needle, we have a sense of truly this right here, right now, this. And anything else that we engage with or indulge is just taking us away from center, from life, from that which animates us, right? We leave our relationship with that which animates us, which we are able to experience. And we leave center and we go into these imaginary conversations in conditioned mind about what is and how it should be and what that means and why, and, you know, I don't like that, I don't agree with that, that doesn't seem right, that's wrong. All of those extraneous, extra additions to what actually is. Is that kind of what you're looking at?
Yes.
And of course, it's so difficult for us to just be here, to just be in this moment, just to be present, because ego is just screaming that this is boring, this is stupid, this is a waste of time, why are you doing this? Why are you wasting your life on this nonsense? You need to get on with it. What are you going to accomplish? What is your life going to stand for? Somebody was, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and he was quoting that all of, whatever it's close to, all of the problems of the world exist because people can't sit quietly alone in a room. That's the same point that's being made. Ego is never satisfied with what is in the present. It wants something more, something different, something for itself, something special.
Well, yes, and it doesn't always have to be that way, in my experience.
That's right. And the experience that we are blessed to have with practice is that the only thing that's satisfying, the only thing that brings us what we truly want is presence. Everything that we're looking for exists in this moment, right here, right now. And that's the practice struggle. Do I let attention go with that habitual pull to the ego, to separation, to that illusion? Or can I stay here in the quiet, in the stillness, until here is recognized as home? This is where I want to be. I don't want to be somewhere else. I choose this. I choose this here now. I choose unconditional love. I choose this moment.
Yes, please.
Thank you. Yes, please. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Rico. Take care of yourself, huh?
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
Right. You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rico. Sherry, that just seems like such a critical awareness that everything we want is here in presence. And as Rico mentioned, everything else is extra or extraneous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the rest of it is where ego lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Liking and disliking, wanting and not wanting, and all that.
Yes, yes. Wow. Mm-hmm. And sure, we are going to take a break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back with more callers.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sharon.
All right, thank you.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Danielle. I'm from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hello, Danielle.
Hi.
Hi, this is quite exciting because this is my first time ever on this, so I was not expecting this to happen.
Uh-huh. The unexpected can be fun, can't it?
Yeah, also a little frightening, but I know that that's obviously ego. I've been reading your books for, I would say, about 2 months now, and they've really opened my mind and have been really challenging, but I can tell that I'm starting to, like, peel the layers and just see things differently, and it's really helpful. So I'm super excited to be here. This is kind of an odd question, but my ego is a little bit nervous to ask it, but I'm going to.
Good.
So when I think about, like, how, or sorry, when I get to a place where I'm pretty present, sometimes ego comes in and says, well, what if something really bad happens to you? Then, you know, how can you be okay with that? For example, I have a really big fear of being taken advantage of by people, sexually, and it kind of gets in the way of, like, a lot of things, of me wanting to be with people, partners, and I think, well, if that happens, then, you know, how can I ever be okay with that, and how can I continue on, you know, being present and things like that. So I can,
okay.
That's kind of where I am right now.
Yeah. Okay, there are two things about that, Danielle. One of them is that being present is our best opportunity not to fall for the shenanigans of ego that would like to talk us into behaviors that will lead us to the very places. Ooh, got a lot of background there. Can you hear that? Can anybody else hear that?
Oh, I'm outside. Let me go inside.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah,
we must
that.
Be hearing wind.
Is this better?
Perfect.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah. So ego has a great time setting people up to have experiences that that ego can then say, see how you are, see what you did. See, now it's your fault in that, okay? So if we're present, we really increase our chances of not getting hoodwinked by ego. Ego pretends that it's trying to take care of you, but it's not. If just a tiny bit of watching shows us that it's always angling for the thing that is going to be detrimental to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one piece of it. The second piece of it is that what you can say to that voice talking to you is, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know what will happen if something awful happens, but that's why I'm practicing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm practicing so that I can be present and unconditionally loving and accepting toward myself, regardless of circumstances. That's why I'm practicing. So I can't answer that question for you, but stick around, and I'll keep practicing, and we'll see where we get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know from watching it that it's meant to shake you. It's meant to cause you to doubt yourself,
mm-hmm.
and to frighten you. And so just to say to it, I can't answer that question because I don't know.
Yeah.
Did something awful happen? Probably. Probably. Mm-hmm. That's why I want to practice.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would have you not ask a question like that because it doesn't want you to have the answer.
Right. And it goes to, well, what if I, what if it happens and I accept it? That would be terrible, or blah, blah, blah. I'm doing harm to myself. But then it's like, no, that's just, it's getting in the way of you just letting things happen on their own. And listening to that is actually what's worse than just being present. And
exactly.
Yeah.
That is such a good point. Because when you're present, awful things are not happening to you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when we live with ego in that conversation, it's constantly saying things designed to upset us, designed to frighten us.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. So it can seem like the world is a really scary, dangerous place. But when we step back and look at it, most of what happens to us happens inside our head. No other people are involved, right? So what's taking advantage of you is that voice in your head.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Because it wants to be your only relationship.
Hmm.
So if it can keep everybody else at a distance, it's got you all to itself. And as creepy as it sounds, that is exactly true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we look around and we see that that's the constant aim of those voices. Separate you. Get you isolated. Get you to turn against people. Be suspicious of people. Not want to be in a relationship with people. Just stay home. Just stay home and be safe. Just stay home and sit on the couch and be safe with that hateful, horrible, frightening voice in the head.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And even like me asking the question before I was like, you don't want to like scare other people or like you don't want to bring this up, but I felt like I needed to because I'm sure that other people might have these worries or something like that. But
oh,
I think
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the content may be slightly different.
Yeah.
But as a sangha, as a group of people who practice together, everybody's got those voices and everybody's hearing what is kind of tailor-made for them. So
yeah.
For you, it's being taken advantage of sexually. For somebody else, it's money. Somebody else, it's their career. Somebody else, it's the kids. You know, the number of parents that I work with who live with horror stories and pictures about something awful happening to their children.
Mm-hmm.
It's hideous.
Yeah.
So the content for each of us would be slightly different, but the process is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So one thing before I let you go, and for anybody else who's listening in and doesn't know this, we do, actually, Ashwini and I do a radio show every morning. Well, not for you. It would be every afternoon for you because you're on East Coast time. But at 9 a.m. or at 1 p.m. or any time in between, we do a show that is called How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. And I offer it to people because it is a tremendous support for bringing this conversation into your life 5 days a week. And then we have assignments over the weekend, and then we talk about those on Monday. But it's a great support, because otherwise, you know, you and I will have this conversation, you'll read the books and that sort of thing, but then there's a lot of time before you get back with people who are looking at things in this way. And
right.
It's important for us to stay close.
Yeah. I've been noticing that just in my own community, where I don't feel like a lot of people are doing the same thing, which is totally fine, but it would just be nice to have that support where people are thinking the same way. And so I will definitely consider this, and thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah, you're so welcome. Stay in touch.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Danielle. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Danielle. And Sherry, if someone wanted to pursue that opportunity, would they send an email to the guest master?
Yeah, or I guess Living Compassion, probably. Ashwini will be texting us in a minute, but go to Living Compassion.
Information
and yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's on the website.
Yeah, information at livingcompassion.org
is
the one that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Great. And if I
get
additional information,
it's a year long. Yeah, it's a year long retreat. So that's what it would be. How you do anything is how you do everything. Last year we did a year long retreat on Project Joy, and then this year it's how you do anything is how you do everything. So that's the one people might want to look for.
Yes, yes. And it's my experience exactly as you described it, to have that daily support about values and processes that I am focused on and want to be supported in. It's the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really helpful.
Great. And I just got an email from Ashwini here. Information at livingcompassion.org.
Okay.
Great.
All right. You were right. Yeah, that's the one. All right. Thank you.
And we have another caller here.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara here in Australia.
Well, hello.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi.
Haven't heard your voice in a long time.
I called in a while ago, but Rebecca was on doing the show, so yeah.
Ah.
I'm happy to be here. I'm life challenging at the moment, and Yeah, I'm in one of those places where, you know, I'm in and out of being identified, and when I'm not identified, I'm just present. Like, it's okay, you know, this is okay. But there's the content so loaded, and around my health and around my housing, and when I slip off that knife's edge of presence, feels like a knife's edge.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look good, you know. It's a really challenging place.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell me a little about it?
About the place, the content?
Yeah. About what you're going through, what you're looking at.
I had to move unexpectedly and sort of suddenly, and anything like that, like for my health, is really, I mean, moving any time, but usually, you know, if I have some control over it, I do it incredibly slowly, and, you know, I pack half a box a day, or, you know, a box a week,
mm-hmm.
and it happened really quickly, and I'm now very unwell and in temporary housing and not Yeah, so I can't see the way forward. Like, I have the next place to go that's also temporary, but, you know, I'm in a place where I'm not sort of well enough to look for anywhere more permanent. But I need somewhere permanent because to keep moving around is really challenging physically. And so it's like, it feels like a koan, you know. It's like I just can't see the way. Obviously, when I'm in conditioned mind trying to figure it out, it just looks like impossible. And then at the same time, like I said, when I'm not identified in that place of, which is very, I saw this morning, I just woke up feeling really unwell this morning, and that's when it happens, you know. I just get identified with a feeling of...
Hopelessness.
Like, and I've been through this process so many times, you know, not identically, but the improvement in the health and then some external stress and then it gets worse and then, you know, each time when it gets worse, it feels like, oh, how am I going to have the kind of patience and the courage to just do what's needed day by day, moment by moment, to slowly, you know, improve enough to change, you know, to get, I don't know, to find somewhere to live or, yeah.
And so what's interesting to me about that, Barbara, is that you are pretty clear about what the components are. Right. I mean, yeah. You realize that what's happening is there's an external event and there's stress with that. And it's the stress that really takes you down.
The stress, but this time it was also the sort of the physicality of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was also a stressful, there was stress surrounding the way that it happened and... yeah, but it's stress that takes me down. Definitely it's kind of the worst thing for my body. I know it's the worst thing for everybody's bodies. And my body's sort of, it's like a hair trigger. And I can see, Sherry, like it reminds me of a time when I was living in my other place and felt so isolated and it was like, it's clear to me where freedom lies, you know, because I don't have a lot of out routes externally, you know, I can't, I could go on the computer, you know, that's the distraction that's available to me, I suppose, but I can see, I can see the opportunity it gives me to see really clearly that freedom lies in something internal in me. It's not a change in external circumstances, although that would possibly help at the moment.
So you can see that, but you're not allowed to stay with that clarity.
No, I mean, I've had it quite a lot. I've been sort of amazed, and it's just because of my practice. But I woke up this morning, and I'm suffering. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about the suffering.
What's happening, every time I sit, I'm crying. I just have tears. And it doesn't even really feel like there's a story that's creating that. It's just there. And that's what's there this morning. And so maybe that in itself isn't suffering, but I'm making it wrong or not wanting it to, you know, it's powerful hearing the earlier calls and about, you know, just right now being, you know, this whatever's right now is okay.
And are you aware of it being that you're being given information? I mean, are you aware of it being a conversation in your head that this is wrong and I don't know what to do, and the tears and the suffering, and
I'm aware there's a conversation around how hard it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and there's a conversation around, so this is what I was sort of first thinking when I was going to call in, around sort of, you know, hearing, you know, life sort of gives you what you need to wake up or whatever. And there's a conversation around, really? Like, is this what I need? Like, and where, so... it feels a little bit like a crisis of faith or something.
Mm-hmm. You could relate to what Catherine was talking about.
I could in a slightly different way, but I could relate to that. And I've been in a place like this years ago when my father died and I got really unwell. And, you know, I read a book that C.S. Lewis wrote about his crisis of faith, you know, when his wife died, and mm-hmm. was really mm-hmm. helpful. So it's, yeah, maybe I... get that book again and read it, but it's a bit like I don't understand, you know. There's some mm-hmm. part of me that's like I don't see how this is what life wants for me.
Right. Well, or that this is what you want for you.
Yeah.
That's what's really hard for us to see, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think I can speak for all of us in this, that what we're told is that what's happening is really wrong, and that if the circumstances were different, then I would be okay. I would be happy. Now, the piece that we don't get is, and I would be unconscious, and my life would be turned over to ego, and ego would go about doing what it always wants to do, which is to get whatever it wants at any given moment. We don't see that piece of it. We don't see that the requirement for us in these kinds of circumstances is really to be here. Mm. It really is life and death for you.
Mm.
You have two choices. You know, you go with that story, and you suffer. You become really miserable. And the only way out of that misery, now ego would say, well, the circumstances need to change. That's the way out of the misery. But really, the way out of the misery is not to be in that conversation, not to listen to that, not to have attention on that.
And that's really clear, too, because I didn't feel like this 2 days ago. And a lot of the, you know, this happened a month ago, and a lot of that time I haven't been in this conversation and it hasn't been a place of suffering. But when it comes, mm-hmm. it's like a tidal wave, you know, it's like...
Yes.
And I don't
yes.
see it coming, you know, I don't
yes.
see a place where I've
yep.
sort of gone unconscious and it's just crept in and taken me over.
Yep, yep. That's a perfect description of it. And then... what it does when it creeps in and takes you over is point to the circumstances. It doesn't,
yeah.
it doesn't say,
yeah.
oh, I just crept in and took your life over, and now I'm telling you these awful things, and you're suffering. It's, well, you're suffering because of X, Y, and Z, because your health is bad, and because you don't have any place to live, and because you're exhausted, and because that's why you're suffering. And it's so hard for us to see, no, I'm suffering because I'm listening to you. That's why I'm suffering. And listening to you, ego, is not making my life any better.
Mm.
Right? I mean, if it did, if it made your life better, we would all be rooting for you to listen to it. Right? There's your salvation. You know, really get how awful this is. But all that happens is you're miserable.
Mm.
You turn your attention away from that. You turn it to just being with her. Unconditional love, compassion, just being with her moment by moment by moment by moment. You know, I understand. And there's this, and there's this, and you did that, and that was great. And there's a little more strength and a little more energy. that's good. And we're here and we're alive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think about now, I'm not an expert on this subject by any stretch of the imagination. So I kind of suspect that I know this one thing that I'm going to tell you. And that is that Nelson Mandela, I think he was in prison for 27 years, right? In a prison cell for 27 years. And he practiced physical fitness every day. He ran in place every day. Now, maybe I made it up, but it's so inspiring to me, I'm not going to let it go unless somebody has hard proof that that's not true. Okay? Because to find that level of, I will not give up. I will not listen to voices of defeat and despair. I won't. I'm not going to indulge what's wrong and how unfair this is and how wrong this is. We could all agree with him. Yeah, that is really true. But what he focused on was taking care of himself every day, every day, every day, so that when he got out, he was actually ready to be out.
Hmm. Yeah, thanks, Sherry. That's what's required.
That's what we got to do, huh? That's what's required.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
high stakes.
It's high stakes. And we know, if in a moment of honesty, we know that if the circumstances that are so hard changed in a minute, I'd abandon myself in the next minute. Because we've all watched ourselves do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
It doesn't mean it's not grisly. It just means...
No, it's pretty grisly.
It's really grisly. And that's why you need to be there with her and for her 110% of the time. Because you're all she's got.
Yeah.
And you got to choose her.
Yeah, I hear this sort of part that just wants somebody to understand how this has felt, you know, for 20-something
mm-hmm.
years. And then I go to the mentor, and the mentor knows, you know, the mentor's
yes.
been there with me. And
yes.
says, I know how hard it's been. I know, you know.
I experienced it too.
Yeah,
of course I know.
Mm-hmm. There is someone who knows.
Yes, and the only one who will ever know.
Mm.
You know, you can have the most understanding, caring friend in the world, and they'll never understand what this has been for you. As much as anybody might want to, be desperate to, they could never understand what this has been for you and what it is for you. It's just not possible. But the mentor knows.
And ego will grab that and turn it into an incredibly isolating, terrible, whereas, the mentor is there saying, yep, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Sherry. And the year long retreat's just been a godsend, and I'm there with you all.
Good, good. And I am so grateful that we're there with you.
Yep, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Barbara. That was a very inspiring conversation for me, Sherry. Really helps to support the foundation of who I am and my practice and what we're here for and what the stakes are. Really valuable conversation.
Yeah, because with Barbara, it's happening right now. Right? With a lot of us, it's not happening right now. Things are really pretty good. For the most part, pretty darn good.
Yes.
But the chances of them not being are big, because we're these little human critters in this form that isn't terribly strong and doesn't last. So to get into that relationship with ourselves such that whatever it is, it's going to be brought into unconditional love, whatever happens.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's big.
Mm. Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to have had today's show with you and everyone
else
and all of our listeners.
Yeah, me too, Michael. Thank you. Thank
you. All right. Thank you, Sharon.
Take care. All right.
Take care.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Go happy. Bye.